If you enjoy movies, a lot of movies, and have thought about attending one of the hundreds of film festivals around the world, but the thought of Venice, Toronto, Tribeca, or even Sundance seems daunting, you might try the high-quality, close-to-home Santa Fe Film Festival. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. The Santa Fe Film Festival is fast approaching with four jam-packed days of screenings, filmmaker discussions, and parties, and I'm delighted to have Brent Cleaver, Director of Programming of the Santa Fe Film Festival, on the program today for a preview of the upcoming fest. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Charles?
Oh, I'm fine, thanks. And I know this must be crunch time for you, just 2 weeks out from a major film festival. But thanks for taking the time to talk with us here.
Oh, that's my pleasure.
Sure. How many years has the festival been going on now?
12 years, although Bill Pence did kind of a ancillary of the Telluride Film Festival here a couple of years in the 80s that were built around themes. But in this particular structure, it's been going since about 2000.
You know, when I think of a lot of film festivals that look at contemporary cinema, many of them have a particular focus or style that they've cultivated over the years. You know, how would you best describe the Santa Fe Film Festival? Is there an approach that people have gotten used to, you know, the kinds of films you'll see there?
Well, I think it's depended over the years somewhat on the executive director and the director of film programming. Now, this is only my second year as director of film programming, but I've been in programming and run movie theaters and art theaters for 30 years. So it'll always reflect somewhat my experience. And since this is also a festival that encourages Without a Box or people that enter their film into the film festival, plus curated films, it's a wide range of films. But it's a very international, independent-oriented film festival. And this year, I think you'll see, when we talk about individual titles, how that plays out.
So I guess as any programmer, you get to put your personal stamp on this.
You know, you can try to think otherwise, but ultimately it does reflect my personal stamp somewhat, yes.
Right. But being a programmer for so many decades, I know you were instrumental in setting up the screen and still program there in Santa Fe, the Art House. And, you know, I would imagine that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of possible indie films made around the world the last few years, and you receive a lot of entries for a film festival like this. Is there something special you're looking for, or is it just one of those things that you know it when you see it, that this is something that an audience has to see, so you've got to program
it? Well, I think you know it when you see it. Also, our audience is an older audience, and they have been, they're cultivated, they've been kind of educated on kind of the old style European art film. So you have to play to that to a degree. I mean, you'll see the winner of the Cannes Film Festival this year, Amour, which is that kind of, you know, old style European art film in there. Plus, you have to look for new voices. But the one problem you have with video and digital and all this is separating through the muck, you know, because just because everybody can make a film doesn't mean they should make a film, or that it's worth watching, or that an audience isn't going to walk out. My theory is you have less films with more quality. Now, there's some film festivals that just throw it all out there, but there's nothing worse than someone paying $15 or whatever for something they just didn't up the snuff, and you can see that right away, and you know when you hit the stop button within the first 10 minutes and sometimes. That's the same way with some bigger budgeted films too, not just intro films.
How many submissions do you typically go through when you whittle it down to your annual list?
They usually around 300, 350.
Wow.
Now, I will say the entry films are something that I'm not part of. That goes through a committee and the executive director. I program the feature films, of which this year we're dealing with about 37 feature films.
Fantastic.
Now, not to say there aren't feature films in the entries too. But these are films that you know, several of them are, you know, the country's submission for Academy Award, sure. or like I said, a film like Amour, which one. You know, some will be released, some will not be released.
What's fabulous about film festivals, though, is if you love films, you know, you've got 37 features you just mentioned, and they're all crammed in 4 days, and so you can really chart a course through those 4 days where you can really gorge yourself on great film. Beginning with opening night, we should mention that the festival runs December 6th through the 9th, just 2 weeks from now. And your opening night, you really scored a coup with Hyde Park on the Hudson, the latest Bill Murray film in which he plays FDR. How did that come about?
Actually, a gentleman that works with me, Joe Matukowicz, who is a worked for Sony Pictures, actually, worked with Focus on that one. That was one I had my eye on. And some of us have better relationships with certain companies than others. And he, working within the industry the way he does, had some relationships at Focus. And I said, Joe, let's go after this one. Because as an opening night film, as you know, you don't want to get too far out there. You want to get something that, you know, gets everybody in the mood. That's usually, you know, a kind of high-profile film with a high-profile star. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you get, you know, some guests to come. In this case, we're not. For instance, our last year, I kind of pulled a rabbit out of the hat in a weird way, and my board about flipped. I chose The Artist as opening night film, and nobody had even heard of it.
Right.
And I said, this film's going to win the Academy Award. And the board looked at me like I was nuts. You go, a silent film as an opening night film? Well,
a delightful silent film.
But it sold out and, you know, went on to become history. But that was just, I kind of went with my gut on that one. Mm. This year, this film, it's a lovely film, and I'd seen it at another festival, and it's a good opening night film.
Of the other 36 titles, features that you're showing, do you want to spotlight a couple that maybe give us a feel for the range of this year's festival?
Amour is fantastic, the Michael Haneke film.
Right.
You've probably seen it, and need I say, you know, more about his reputation if you've seen his films. Although this...
It's a little different than what he normally does.
Exactly, exactly. Like last year's Darden Brothers, Kid with a Bike, you know, they've always been known as kind of difficult directors, but like that film, this film is a more, shall I say, audience-friendly film, and I use that for lack of another term. Another one that we have really, that was a very big hit at Sundance and will not have played at any other festival I know of, is Violeta Went to Heaven, which is the story of a Chilean folk singer, Violeta Parra, who grew up impoverished in the 20s and 30s in Chile, and it's Chile's official entry or submission for Academy Award, and this is could be the sleeper hit of the festival. The German film Barbara, I played at the New York Film Festival, is incredible. As far as, you know, to give you another wide range, we have Werner Herzog took this 6-hour Russian documentary about the taiga and follows this exploration of a trapper's life, and this was made for either Russian TV by a Russian director, and he's re-edited it into 90 minutes and put his narration on it. And some people may cry foul when...
But any time you can hear Werner Herzog narrate something...
But, you know, but it's stunning. It's quite good.
Sure.
And we have actually the U.S. Premiere on that right now, and we're very excited about that. We also have the first Kenyan film ever submitted to the Academy Award for Best Foreign Language Film. It's called Nairobi Half-Life, about an aspiring actor from the boonies who comes to the city in search of success. I mean, sounds familiar, but the way it's done is what makes it different. You know, it's a very gritty film, and when you see the kind of slums this kid grows up in, and it's a beautiful, beautiful film.
And this is what I love about your program, is that you've really scoured, you know, most of the continents on the planet for fine films, and you've put them all in 4 days, which is a pretty digestible period for most people that can't take an entire week or 10 days off to go to one of the huge festivals.
No, I agree with you, and that's what I like. I like a representation from everywhere. I mean, you know, a film isn't just Eurocentric or American. It reaches out into... Right.
It's telling stories, and it's just a tool
Exactly. And that's another thing we're going to be, you know, in one of the panels is what has happened to storytelling. Mm. The screenwriting panel will discuss that because, I mean, in the American cinema in particular, because we get more and more dragged into this bombast of digital, you know, the art of storytelling seems to be getting lost in the fog or whatever.
Yeah, it's a cacophony of images that we get in many of our Hollywood films.
Exactly. We have over 60-some films together, though. There's some short films. Also, Dustin Hoffman's directorial debut, Quartet, but it's got Maggie Smith and Billy Connolly and a great cast.
I'm thinking that there's probably people listening with this great array of films and the nearness of Santa Fe that they might be thinking, well, maybe we should run up to Santa Fe. Do you have any tips on first-time festival goers, you know, how to navigate a festival or what they should come prepared for or how they should prepare?
The key is, I think, when you have this many films in 4 days, is not to be overwhelmed. Because, you know, you can look at it like, I don't know what to see. Because also, there's a certain unfamiliarity with any of these films. And so it's like, do I do this? Do I do this? Do I do this? Yeah, film festivals, I think the first time are somewhat hard to navigate.
That can also be the joy of discovery, that you just go
and plop
yourself down and see what unfolds. A great way for people who love film to enjoy the camaraderie of other like-minded cinephiles, certainly going to festivals. It's all about the experience. I wish you all the best of luck this year with the festival, and thank you so much, Brent, for taking time to speak with us.
Well, thank you, Charles. It's been a pleasure.
My guest today has been Brent Cleaver, Director of Programming of the Santa Fe Film Festival. We've been discussing the upcoming festival, which runs December 6th to the 9th in and around Santa Fe. The festival has recently released its lineup and hourly schedule of events. This and more information is available online at santafefilmfestival.com. If you've thought you'd like to take the plunge and experience a film festival firsthand, the Santa Fe Film Festival is a good and convenient place to start. A final program note, the Plaza Classic Film Festival presents its annual Holiday Classics Film Series next weekend, December 1st and 2nd, at the Plaza Theater in downtown El Paso. Christmas classics include Home Alone, Miracle on 34th Street, A Christmas Story, and the perennial favorite, It's a Wonderful Life. All screenings are just $5, and tickets are available at the Plaza Theater's box office. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.